You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
Now, let's be honest, though. Who feels they give the proper and adequate respect that Thanksgiving deserves? Because, if you don't, you're a problem. Thanksgiving deserves. I get to speak at chapel for our school every once in a while. And this morning, I just remember telling them, Thanksgiving gives you an opportunity to eat as much as you want, and nobody blinks an eye. You can gain 10 pounds in a day and nobody cares because it's Thanksgiving. You deserve it. Load everything with gravy, you know? Just do it. Just do the thing. Eat as much mac and cheese as you possibly can. Thanksgiving is a great and awesome holiday. And I hope that you have somebody to spend it with this week, or not this week, sorry, this month. It's 2 weeks away, right? 2 weeks away, two Thursdays from now. And so because of Thanksgiving, we are going to talk about the faith of friends. And maybe you're like, well, what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? Well, Thanksgiving is all about being thankful. And really, a lot of the thankfulness comes from community. Usually, I don't know, in my family, when I was growing up, we would always go around the table and they would ask, what's one thing you are thankful for? And I mean, you always had to be the first to answer because you know, like, what you're thankful for is either friends or family, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a teammate, whatever. And if you didn't jump on it, your brother or sister would grab it before you. And now you actually got to think of an answer. And that's like, I got to actually think. Thanksgiving's all about not thinking. I'm on Thanksgiving break. But so we're going to be talking about friendships and this idea of community. I don't know about you. I know growing up for me in high school, especially, friendship was super important for me. I needed friends. I loved my friends. My friends were a core of who I spent my time with. I'm telling you, there wasn't a day where I wouldn't like leave my house and walk to a friend's house or spend time with. I was big basketball. And so my teammates, I mean, we would spend so much time outside of school. They were my summer plans. If they were gone, I felt like I had nothing to do. It was just huge. You probably have somebody or maybe some people in your life. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's even a parent. Maybe it's a classmate, a teammate, a friend, whatever, a neighbor. But somebody or some people that you're probably thinking, I couldn't live without them, right? Right? Somebody, some person. I'll always remember when I left for college. I mean, you're probably going to have this moment, and I don't want to break your heart, but I'm going to break your heart. There's this moment where you're walking, you're going to go, man, we're going to make it work. We're going to last. I know we're going in our separate directions, but we're going to stay best of friends. And then you never talk to them again. At least that's what happened to me. A lot of my friends I no longer talked to. They left. They went places. I went to separate places. Then we actually ended up going to the same college. And that break taught me that they were really annoying. So I'm just kidding. But there was this separation that took place. And I'll always remember COVID happened when I was in college, okay? COVID happened when I was in college, and that meant I had to take a year off, and it was kind of like this year break, and it became the loneliest year of my life, because I all my friends were gone, and the people that I had, I no longer got to hang out with, because we kind of had to stay away from each other, and so it led to a very, very lonely year, and actually led to a very bad year for me, or I got very, very sad. I started making some bad choices. And really, it all took place because I lost the people that were around me. And I realized in that moment when I got back into the world, back into a college dorm room on a college campus where I got to kind of get new community, that a lot of what I was lacking that led to some of those bad decisions was the fact that I was alone, was the fact that I didn't have friends around me. And I realized in that moment, friendship's really important. And I know you're not there yet. I know you haven't gone to college, or I know that you haven't had a moment where you have left maybe your town that you grew up in and all that stuff. But you probably know this, that friendship is important. Maybe you've lost a friend before. Maybe it was a friendship that you had to take a break from because somebody hurt somebody. And you remember those feelings of, man, I miss them. I miss that time. How do I feel this time that I was spending with them? Maybe you're sitting there right now and you're sad that I mentioned that you might not be best friends with the person that you were friends with. I see somebody, I'm embarrassed, I'm sorry. No, but you know, friendship is important. But not only friendship, we need not just regular friends, we need good friends. We need good influences on each other. In other words, we need Christian friends. It's important to have Christian friends. Maybe you're thinking, Nate, I don't have Christian friends. Maybe that's what you need to take away today, is I need some more Christian friends in my life. I'm telling you, Christian friendship is essential to our faith. And really, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about that, the faith of friends, Christian friends, people, friends who are following Jesus. And to start it, we're going to be in probably the saddest book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes. All right. You may have not heard of the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to tell you about it. If you would, go ahead and open up to Ecclesiastes 4. It is at the front part of your Bible, Ecclesiastes 4. Don't worry, there's a table of contents at the front of your Bible. Feel free to use it. If you didn't bring a Bible, we have one in your seat or maybe in the seat beside you. Feel free to grab that. If you would like to take notes, we would love for you to take notes. We would love for you to take them on a pen and paper. So all you have to do is raise your hand and somebody will bring you a notebook with a pen. Ecclesiastes 4. So I said Ecclesiastes is one of the saddest books of the Bible, and I meant that. It is very, very sad. It talks about life, and when it talks about life, it usually uses some grim words to describe it. It uses, I'm going to teach you a word. You ready to be taught a word? The word is in Hebrew, and it is havel. Can you say havel? Havel. Havel literally means nothingness. It means fleeting. It means literally vapor or breath. I want you to do this. I want us to focus in on this. I want us to breathe. You ready? Breathe in. Quietly breathe out. There we go. Quietly breathe out. I feel like this, we might have to have somebody up here because this group is looking a little wild this afternoon, okay? Y'all gonna lock in for me? All right, cool. All right, so breath. The reason I had you do that is because that is what the word havel talks about, breath. Like it is here one moment and it's gone the next. Guess what? You're not even thinking about, I'm gonna mess you up. Think about how many times you breathe. Every time you breathe, think about it. It's gonna mess you up, right? No, you breathe so much throughout your life that it just, and even throughout your day, throughout this time you've been here, that it just happens. And it's here and you can't grasp it. Once it's gone, it's gone. Your breath is gone. You can't catch it, right? Well, why is this the saddest book in the Bible? Because the author talks about life this way. He says life is havel. It is like a breath. It is like a vapor. You can try to grasp onto it, hold on to it, but it's here one moment and gone the next. And we have little to no control what happens. Things just happen, right? Illnesses take place. Cars break down. Somehow you make an F on your test and you don't know how. You studied all night. No, things just happen, and in the grand scheme of things, you've probably experienced this, sometimes you can't control how life pans out. It just happens. And so the author is really writing this, and it seems so grim, and you come to the question, so what do we do about it? What do we do about it? And really, he brings it all together and says, well, the way to live about life now is to accept this, accept that life is havel. It's a vapor. It's here one moment, gone the next, can't really do anything about it. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy the time that you have. Enjoy the people that you surround yourself with. And then ultimately, trust in the one who does have control of it all, aka trust in the God that we believe in. But in the midst of all this, of explaining all this, he brings a moment talking about friendship. And he uses really, I think it's a really great passage that brings us to a conclusion about how good Christian friendship really is. Okay, so we're going to be in Chapter 4, starting in verse 7, he says this. I saw vanity. Vanity is that word havel, okay? So I saw havel. I saw a fleetingness. I saw a vapor under the sun. This under the sun word phrase is really just a metaphor for talking about this life. He uses it in a lot of this book. So basically, he's saying, I saw a vapor in this world, in this life, in this temporary time that we have. And the vapor was that one person who has no other, either son or brother, you could insert their mother, you could insert sister, friend, teammate, neighbor, anybody. this man who's ultimately alone, and he saw that there is no end to all this person's toil. And in his eyes, he was never satisfied with riches, so that he never asked, "For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?" This also is havel, meaningless, a vapor, an unhappy business. So he says, hey, there's this thing that's just fleeting in this world, and it's a person who is alone, a person who has no one, not because they didn't have the opportunity, but because they filled their time with trying to chase after something else, trying to chase after being popular, trying to chase after being rich. This person, if we think about it, was probably looked up to by the people around them. There's probably people saying, I want to be like so-and-so. Look how much money he has. Look how big of a house or how big of a following this person has. But ultimately, it says this person was unsatisfied. Whatever he was chasing after never filled the void. It says that he chased after it so much that he actually never stopped and looked around to see that it wasn't satisfying him. He would think, I'm unhappy, so I must go get more of what I've been chasing after. That must be the problem. I don't have enough. Because he never looked around to ask the question, what am I doing this all for? Who am I doing this all for? He ends up saying again, this is havel, a vapor, a breath. He's chasing after things that ultimately he has no control over. Here one moment, gone the next. And the author says this, verse 9, the two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. So what do we do with this? Hey, this one person is chasing after himself and riches and popularity and the things that he thinks is going to make him happy, but he's doing it alone and he is not toiling for any good reward. Yet, two is better than one because you have a reward for your toil. Ultimately, the author here is saying, what is a thing that was going to fill the spot that that person was chasing after? Doing it with others, having somebody else to lean upon, having somebody else to help out in those situations, having somebody else to share it with. He uses two analogies to almost explain this. One is of a man who has fallen. He says, hey, what happens if you fall down and you're alone? There's no one there to pick you up. But if you have somebody with you, you have somebody to lift you up, somebody to be there with you. And you know, you can take that in a literal sense, but the author in this moment is actually just talking about how a friend, a true friend, is somebody who is there at your lowest moments. Think about it. Think about your lowest moment. I know we don't like to. We kind of want to hide that or put that in the back of our mind and not think about it. But think about those people that surrounded you in those moments, who checked on you, who cared for you. Were those not the people that you were closest to? Were those not the people that at the end of it you said, man, this person was really there for me in that? If not, maybe we need to get some closer people, right? But a friend is somebody who is there at your lowest moments. He then goes into another analogy that you might not understand. And if you do understand it, it's kind of weird. He says, what about when you're going to sleep and you're cold? What about a friend that is there to cuddle you? I know it's kind of weird, right? It's a little weird. You're like, oh, I don't want that kind of friend. Like, that's weird. I agree. Like if I don't even want to jump into that analogy too much. But I'll tell you, in their day and age, it made sense because we're thinking about it through the lens of we have a bed, we have blankets, we have AC. Right now, don't use your AC, use your heat, right? It's so cold out here. I left Tennessee to get away from this weather and apparently it followed me here. So I'm sorry to all you Floridians. Thank you. You're welcome. That being said, The readers and the people that the author is talking about, the people that the author is talking about in this moment, they don't have those things. These are most likely people who are on the road, people who their cover is a tent. And so in cold months, and they're looking for people, a good friend is somebody that says, hey, we're going to keep each other warm. I know that if I don't, you either are going to be severely uncomfortable or you literally might die. So let us help each other out in this. In another sense, A friend is not only somebody there at your lowest moments, but a friend is there when you need them. Sometimes those things go hand in hand, but it might not just be in a low moment. Maybe you just need somebody. Here he's saying, hey, if you're alone, you don't have that. You can have all the success in the world, but if you don't have somebody to help you out in those moments, you're left chasing after the wind. You're left chasing after Havel. And he ties it all together in a beautiful illustration that we're going to look at. It says in verse 12, it says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, I love this, he immediately goes into a fist fight. So though there might be a time where you can beat somebody else up alone, who will withstand that person? For a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Maybe you understand this, but I brought an illustration because, I don't know, I like arts and crafts, and you gave me an opportunity to do it this week. So this is a piece of yarn, right? This is one. One, as he says, quickly, easily broken. I'm so strong. Thank you. I know. Oh, I work out. This is two. This is two. This is two. I mean, a little bit more, right? You got to, you got to really muster. I don't think it's going to, oh, I got, hey. I know. But you saw, you see the illustration. That was much harder. Then there's three. All right. I'm going to get rug burn doing this, man. Oh, can I do it? Hey, I got it. I know. But you saw this. One, quickly broken. Two. Hey, it's broken, but it's taking more. Three, even more. Not impossible, but not quickly broken. Support system. People there to help you walk through the toughest of moments. People there when you need them. But let me tell you something. Worldly friends will leave when you need them. Worldly friends will laugh at you when you need somebody to pick you up. So where this leaves us and where the author leaves us is we no longer just need friends. We need friends who serve God, who have the characteristics and attributes that Christ gives to his followers. In other words, having friends who are following Jesus makes our faith stronger. Our lives better. Having friends who follow Jesus makes our faith stronger and our life better. Maybe you're sitting here asking, Nate, how? Well, if Ecclesiastes wasn't telling you enough, man, think about what a person who follows Jesus, who is your friend, does for you and your faith. Are the people who are following Jesus, and I'm not talking about who call themselves Christian or have a verse in their bio. I'm talking about a person who is following Jesus. Are they not the most encouraging people to be around? The ones who are the kindest as Christ has been kind to them? The ones who lift you up and love you well? Oh, but are they also not the ones who can come to you in truth with conviction of saying, hey, listen, you're doing this, but I'm telling you, it's not going to lead you where you want to be. You're doing this, and it is not going to work well for you. They're not the ones that if you go, hey, please, you know, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me out? Can you keep me accountable? Are they not the ones who will do that exact thing? That makes our faith stronger. We need that in our faith. Hear me say this, a Christian life is not one that we were meant to walk alone. But a Christian friend doesn't just, or somebody who follows Jesus doesn't make our life or our faiths are stronger. It also makes our life better. It leads to the life that we were always meant to have. And from the very beginning in Genesis, God looked at man and said, you are not meant to be alone. If you are walking through your life alone or without faithful Christian friends, then you are selling yourself short of the life God meant for you to live. God meant for us to have other people around us. But again, just having people who are going to do their own thing or chase after their own ways are ultimately going to burn you. But a friend who's faithfully chasing after Jesus are the ones that are going to lift you up to greater heights than you might have even imagined yourself to be. Like, they can literally put you in a place that you probably never imagined you could go. We need friends who are faithfully following Jesus. Make our faith stronger, like a threefold cord. Make our lives better, how we are always meant to live. Now, there's two things real quick that I just want to make very practical applications of. So what do I do with that? Nate, that sounds awesome. What do I do with that idea, with that statement? Here's the two things. First, get Christian friends. That's pretty easy, right? Like, not pretty easy maybe in actuality, but it's pretty easy to understand that's a good takeaway. To find Christian friends, maybe that's evaluating who you're friends with right now. The common statement, you've probably heard it, I've said it before, you are the summation of the five closest friends you have. Meaning, if we looked at and put your five closest friends in a room, talked to them for about an hour, and then you walked in the room, you would be just like them. You would be ultimately in the same vein as them. I'd be able to kind of expect, know what to expect from them. So think about that. If you think about your five closest friends, are they people that you're going, man, they're chasing after Jesus? In other words, are the five closest people to you, or make it three, make it two, make it one, are they people that are leading you closer to Jesus or keeping you further from him? And if your answer is, Nate, I think they might be pulling me away from him, it might be time to look at getting new friends. I know that's hard. At the end of the day, it's going to be better for you. Get Christian friends. Secondly, be the friend that you want to have. If we're going to have high expectations for our friends of following Jesus, then we need to be the same. We can't be not following Jesus and say, now it is your responsibility to help me follow Jesus. I'm going to pull you down. You need to pull me up. We need to be also looking at how we are acting and saying, I'm going to be friends with people like me. And if I need to be friends with people who are following Jesus, I need to follow Jesus. If I need to be not cursing, I need to have friends that aren't cursing. If I need to not have people gossiping about me, I need to be a person that's not gossiping about other people. If I need to respect my parents better, I need to have friends who are also doing that. If I want friends who are doing that, I need to do that. Be the friend that you want to have, because ultimately, that's how it's going to end up being. Because the friend that you want to have is also looking for somebody who is following Jesus. So we have to be those people who are doing that. You might be going, Nate, how do I do that? How do I get a friend to faithfully follow Jesus? And I'm not saying abandon all your friends who maybe aren't, or maybe you're looking around saying, hey, this person wants to follow Jesus, but I don't know if they are as well. I want to give you an opportunity. We try to make it as easy as possible for you to invite your friends to church, which is the best place that they're going to grow in their faith. It doesn't need to be the only place you're growing your faith, but it's a great place for you to. I'm so glad that you're here. And so we are offering a really cool opportunity, an easy opportunity for you to invite somebody. And it's called Friendsgiving. Friendsgiving is next week. It's literally next Wednesday. So you got a week. You got a week, a whole week, however many hours that is. 152, is that right? I don't know. A lot of hours to invite some friends here. And we made it so easy. You know how? We brought free food. I know, crazy. We brought free food. Man, maybe that's, listen, if you need an action step right now, that's your action step. Invite a friend. Bring somebody with you. Bring somebody that's not in the room. Think about it. Think about the person that you're like, I know this person. They need to be in this room. They're not. You've got an opportunity. So easy. Hey, my church is doing this thing called Friendsgiving. We've got free food. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want you there with me. I'll pick you up at 5:30. We'll be here at 5:45. I'll pick you up at 5:45. We'll be here at 6. Whatever. We don't start till 6:20. You got plenty of time. And I would love for you to take this step. I would love for you to take a step. telling you for you to grow into your faith, to maximize your potential in the faith, we need Christian friends surrounding us. And think about it. You could be the person that gets the opportunity to stand in the gap for somebody else to meet Jesus. Is that not so cool? You could be the friend that stands in the gap for somebody else. All it takes is an invitation. All it takes is for us to be the friends that we want to have. So good. Man, I would love for us to fill this room next week with people who need to know Jesus. We have the opportunity to do that. Hey, we're going to worship. I would love for you to stand and sing with us, man. If you need to talk about anything, if you need better, practical, more detailed steps of what it looks like to find friends who are following Jesus, I would love to walk through that with you. All right, would you pray with me?
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.